The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
That's beautiful. Well, we are so, I got so much stuff here. Andrew, I got to kill all your stuff here, dude. I'm sorry. And the watch. I'm just going to keep the watch, if that's all right. Is that cool? That's mine now. Well, you guys, we are so glad that you're here. Welcome back, for those of you that are returners. My wife, Kelly, and I. Kelly's somewhere in the back, standing in the corner there. We were here in town all summer long, and State College is a fabulous place in the summer. A lot of you experience it only kind of through the winter, where it's not quite as fun, but in the summertime, it's beautiful. So I recommend that sometime you take a summer and spend it here at State College. The only thing is, eventually, it gets lonely, because all you guys gone. The town is absolutely a different place, and so as much as we love the warmth and the summer and all the happiness, we're always glad when you guys come back. And it's fun again, and the students are all in town. So welcome back. It was really fun to see a bunch of you last week at the lake. All the leadership for Crew goes down to Lake Raystown every year in August, spend some time together before the school year starts. So that was fun, and then it's been great to see a bunch of you at all these different startup events we've done over the course of the week. And we're just glad to be back together again, so we're glad you're here. In fact, Kelly and I, we're going to be doing something this year where on most Sundays, maybe not every Sunday, but most Sundays of the month, we're going to have waffle brunches at our home. So we would love to have you guys over. What we'll do is we'll kind of invite, we can't have everybody, our house is sweet, but it's not quite this big. So we'll have batches of students over on Sundays for waffles after church. And so be on the lookout. We'll just kind of invite, you know, 20 or 25 students at a time to come on over. We're going to do that this week. Some folks have already gotten an invitation to come over. But we are so glad you're back, and we look forward to spending some time with you in our home, too, so you can meet our kids and we can get to know each other in that context. But not everybody is back home. Some of you are here to a new home. How many freshmen are here tonight? Oh, yes. That's great. Well, we are so glad that you guys are here. So welcome. How about transfers? How many folks are transferring in from another campus? A whole bunch again. Yeah. That's excellent. Well, we are so glad. Welcome to Penn State. Welcome to Crew. We're just delighted to have you here. After we're done here in this room, we're going to head across the hall there and have an ice cream social together. So while we're there, it's a great chance to meet people and connect. I'd love to meet as many of you as I can myself. So please stick around for some creamery ice cream and we'll hang out. But welcome really to Penn State. I think it's an incredible place and that you guys are really in for a treat for the next several years. Kelly and I went to James Madison University down in Virginia and absolutely loved it. And like a lot of people, I think we would identify our time as college students is one of the absolute sweetest times in our lives. It's something idyllic, something special, something unique about college. You'll probably never again live within walking distance of hundreds and thousands of your peers, where there's tennis courts and swimming pools and all-you-can-eat food at every meal. And it's the most idyllic setting that you could really possibly imagine. And if you make good decisions and move towards people and build relationships, there's really no reason that you'll ever really need to be bored or lonely while you're here in college. And that reality is what we really want to focus on this evening, to talk about how you can make the most of your time as a student here, how you can really experience joy at a deep level while you're a student. When I was at JMU, I had a friend, a buddy of mine named Mark Peterson. In my sophomore year, I lived in Schwartz Hall, and Mark was my RA. And Mark loved life. He loved to play. He loved to do fun things. And he would always come to me and cajole me into blowing off something that I was doing, some test I was studying for, and he'd always use the same line of reasoning. He would say, "Henderson, in 50 years, are you going to remember the grade you got on that history test? No, come on, let's go make some memories." And off we'd go to go do some ridiculous fun thing. He did it all the time. And one night, I remember in particular, I was in my room and I was studying for a test, and as he predicted, I don't have any idea what test I was studying for, and it was pouring rain. He said, "Come on, Henderson, let's go make some memories." And so off we trudged, and we found some field filled with a big hill and a bunch of folks, and we just spent the evening doing mud slides. We tore up the field. I'm sure the OPP didn't appreciate it, and we ruined our clothes, and we just made memories, and it was fun. And just like you said, I don't remember. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. I cannot remember a single class that I took my entire sophomore year. Okay, I'm sure that I did. I have no recollection of what I did, except that I took educational psychology, Psych 160, because that's where I met Kelly. And everything else is, I have no recollection of it at all, okay? So Mark's advice to me is my advice to you. While you are here, make some memories. Go to class, okay, do that. I went to many of mine, and you could do the same. But I don't remember any of it. make some memories while you're here. Okay, I had another friend, a guy named Chris Rooker, and Rook and I, we've been best friends kind of ever since college. We were in a Bible study together, but while we were students, my junior year, I became an RA, largely because of Mark's influence. And my junior year, I lived in Wayland Hall, and on the front door of Wayland Hall was a big sign, right? It had a yellow circle with kind of black triangles cut into it, and over the top it said Fallout Shelter on this sign next to the door. And so Rook and I thought, you know, where is it, and how do you get in, and what's in there, because that would be sweet. And I was an RA, right? So I had access to this cabinet, this huge cabinet full of keys. And so one night, Rook and I went through every single key in this cabinet, trying to find the key that would open the lock so that we could see this secret room in what we, you know, figured was in the basement of this place. In the basement, at the end of the hall there, was this door. And no light ever came out of it. Nobody ever went into it. And none of these keys worked on that door. We went through the whole box, and there was nothing. And so we didn't know what to do. So we kind of despaired of our inability to kind of have access to this. Until one day, Rook got a catalog in the mail from a company that sells stuff to people that think they're in the military but aren't. Have you ever seen these catalogs? I mean, there's some sweet stuff that you can get, like, legally, right? So there's, like, these belt buckles with rapid-release assault knives. And that, I mean, how many times have you wished you had a rapid-release assault knife, right? Like, all the time. And they sold night vision goggles, and they sold, my favorite thing was they sold Delta darts. Anybody know what a Delta dart is? You know, you just don't want to admit it, right? It's a plastic, it's like this plastic knife that you can essentially sneak on a plane in case you need to kill a terrorist. It's very convenient, just in case, right? So all this stuff for this, I mean, there is a segment of society that really values this stuff, right? Bless their hearts, they serve a purpose. And they also sold lockpick kits. So Rook and I thought, that's it, that's the answer. So we it's like $15, right? It's like nothing. So we ordered a lockpick kit, and we got a manual, and we taught ourselves how to pick locks. And it's actually not terribly difficult. We got to the point that we weren't great at it, but we could pick about 50% of the locks that we would encounter using a technique called scrubbing, which you can go Google and just kind of get it up yourself. But we got the kit, and we learned how to do it, and then we totally wussed out, and we never picked the lock on the door. Isn't that a terrible ending to that story? So lame. I wish it was awesomer than that, but it's not. It really sucks. So we never went in, and I've often thought, like, why did we not do it then? Right? Because if I go back now today and try to pick a lock on that door, I'll be in prison, right? When you're a student, when you're an RA, what are they going to do? Nothing. I've been back. Kelly and I went back just the other day, like a couple months ago, and I kind of poked my head into Wayland Hall to see that door that taunted me. And it's got this big sign on it now that says, like, you know, authorized access only, alarm will sound. And it just makes me sick because there is something glorious behind that door, okay? All right, and then you're thinking, okay, this is relevant how? Here's the point. Make memories, okay? Life is all about relationships, and your happiest times at Penn State, the happiest times in the rest of your life are going to come when you find intimacy and adventure intersecting with people that you love, because life is all about relationships of love. It's true here. It'll be true for the rest of your life. What I want to talk about tonight is why that is. Why is it that the best times in life are the things that you do with other people? Why is it that the worst thing you can possibly do to somebody is put them in solitary confinement? Why is it that the universal longing of the human heart is to be in relationship? Why is it that if I went across the rows one by one and could penetrate your heart to see what you want more than anything else in the world, it is almost definitely that you would like to someday be married. Is that it? Why is it? Why do we long to be in intimacy? Why do we long for relationships? I want to propose to you tonight that reality is rooted in the deep theological truth that God is Trinity, that he has what theologians call a triune nature. What that means is that there is one God and only one God, but he has existed for all of eternity as three persons who have known and loved each other from all of time. He's three and he's one at the same time. And that reality often causes people to pause and how could that be? And they kind of get caught up trying to untangle how it could be. I want you to set aside worrying about how it is and think about what it means that it is, okay? What are the implications that it's true that God is three in one, that he has a triune nature? Do you realize that what that means, you guys, is that before there was anything else, there was relationship. God was never lonely. There was always intimacy, There was always adventure. There was always love and interaction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Have you ever wondered, what did God do before he made the world? Like, I mean, it's hard to think about time before time, but in the 100 billion trillion years that preceded the creation of the world, what was he doing? You know what the answer is? What God the Father did for all of time before there was time was he was delighting in and adoring his Son, while the Son himself was responding with infinite love and honor and admiration and delight in the Father, while the Holy Spirit joined in the camaraderie and he responded with infinite loving deference, Father, Son, and Spirit, all three constantly reciprocating to each other in this perfect community, this family, as the three persons of the Godhead loved and adored and served and revolved around and spun around and even danced around each other, constantly putting the interest of the others above themselves. It was what you have always longed. Can you imagine being in a place where everybody's not centering around themselves, but they were centering around other people? If they were centering around you, that was the Father, Son, and Spirit, that's what they experienced for all of eternity. The constant revolution of the other two persons of the Godhead adoring them. It's incredible. In fact, we call it a dance. The early church leaders called it, literally the word they used to describe this loving interaction that existed in the Godhead was a dance. They called it the perichoresis. Choresis is a word that means dance. A choreographer graphs a choresis. He writes a dance. And perichoresis means to dance about. And that is what fundamentally happens in God. What he is a dance. He is a perichoresis. He is this loving interaction of a community of persons who know and love each other. And that party, that dance, that community, you guys, that family was what Jesus knew and experienced from all eternity, which is probably why when he was on the earth, you ever notice he talks about it incessantly? He's always talking about love. He's always talking about relationships. He's always talking about serving other people. And he did that because that's what he had known for all of his life. Tim Keller, who's a pastor that I deeply respect, he taught me a lot of what I'm speaking about tonight. He said this once on this particular point. He said, quote, when Jesus said, you have to lose yourself to find yourself, he's only telling you what the Father, Son, and Spirit have been doing from all eternity. They were loving each other, adoring each other, revolving around each other, putting each other at the center of their universes. Guys, before there was hydrogen or oxygen, before there was carbon or iron, there was love and affection and deference and honor and delight and community and relationships. And those things precede and supersede everything else, okay? They come before work and wealth and power and prestige, authority, the accumulation of things, all the stuff, you guys, that we try to build our lives on, all of these things that we think, this is what's gonna make me happy, this is gonna work, this needs to be the building block of my life, all of those things come after, are less than, and are subservient to relationships of love. You long for relationships because that's what life's all about. You guys, the reason that life is all about relationships is that the world was made by someone who is a relationship. You were made by someone who is a relationship. And not only that, but you were made in his image. Let me try to prove that to you. If you have a Bible, open it up to Genesis chapter 1. Just the first page, so it should not be that hard to find. If you don't have it, we'll have it up on the screen here. Here's what it says. Genesis 1, verse 26. Listen to this as we kind of try to make the case for what I've just been saying. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, quote, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, I want you to notice two things, all right? First of all, who is he talking to? Did you notice he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness? You know, he says this before he's created anybody to talk to, right? This is the first hint in Scripture of the superpersonal, the multipersonal nature of God. Let us make man in our image, okay? He is fundamentally a community of persons who know and love each other. But notice this too, that we are made in his image. It says that male and female were made after this pattern. So you were made in the image of a supremely relational God. But you're not triune, right? You've got a simpler, singular nature, which means that unlike God, you can't go into yourself to find community, to find these other relationships. There's nobody there. And if there is, then you've got a completely different set of problems that I'm unable to help you with, okay? You've got a simpler, singular nature. God has a triune nature, but you're made in his image. You're made just like him in that you're relational, but you're not made to be self-sufficient like he is, right? Imagine, like, think about it like this. Imagine for a second that God is a cube, okay? Now, he's not, all right? So don't fall into heresy. He's not a cube, but imagine that he is, okay? You would be like a square, okay? You're made in his image, but in a simpler, singular way. You're a square that's made for cubeness. And in order for a square to experience cubeness, what's it need? Other squares, sides. Yeah, that's a good answer. Other squares, right? He needs more of these. This is why you need relationships. You need other squares, other sides to your cube to complete you. You're made for relationship, but you're not made complete. He's complete, and we're not. We're made to need this thing. It was part of the plan, all of it, all along. And that is why in Crew, we major on this. We talk about community all the time. You've already heard these guys say that Crew is a community where the gospel does all this sweet stuff, right? We major on this because it's what God is all about. I remember the list, by the way. It's just, you know, we won't get into it all. Okay? Crew is a community where all this sweet stuff happens because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we're a community, fundamentally. Okay? One of the most influential passages of Scripture for us is 1 Thess 2:8, which says this. It says that we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. There's two things that are kind of wrapped up in there. Number one, we want to share our lives with other people. We want to share our lives with each other here in this room and with other people not in this room, in particular with people that don't know God in a meaningful way. We want to share our lives. We want to move towards people in rich community. And we want to share the gospel of God. And again, we want to do that with each other because Christians need the gospel just as much as anyone does and with people that don't yet know him. Everybody, believers, unbelievers, we all need to be reminded of the dual realities that God, that, well, not about God, that we are such a mess. We really are. That we're such a mess that God had to die for us. We need to be reminded of that, and then people outside need to know that. But we also need to know not just that God had to die for us because we're such a mess, but that because he loves us, because he treasures us, and because he adores us, he was glad to die for us. And those two realities, this need to penetrate our hearts. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it amongst ourselves. We talk about it with anybody that's willing to listen. Because those two truths need to come together in a person's heart. It's the foundation for everything. That God had to die for us, and he is glad to die for us because he treasures us so highly. Okay, we talk about that. And 1 Thess 2:8 kind of gives it a little bit of a framework for us doing that. That we're so treasured, so adored, God wants us to come into this dance. And so we talk about it all the time. Guys, we don't want to hoard that message to ourselves. We think that people need to hear it. And so, by way of application, I want to give you five quick points, okay? Five things that you can do that I think will help you kind of live in light of this reality, and that it'll really shape your time at Penn State. We want you to have joy. We want you to experience life and all that it's meant to be. We want you to love your time here. And so let me give you five things that I think will really make a difference in your ability to experience joy, okay? Number one, if you're living in the dorms in particular, I would strongly suggest that you leave your door open all the time, okay? When you're home, if you're not naked, open the door, okay? In fact, if you are naked and you want to open the door, sometimes you might meet some other interesting people, okay? And don't do it often, okay? You don't want to get a reputation. But on occasion, it might spice things up, okay? Leave your door open. Here's the thing. If you want to keep that door shut all the time, that is the best way to be sad and lonely, to never meet anyone, and then to transfer away from Penn State by December. Okay, just shut your door, and it's a done deal. Okay, leave your door open. That is the simplest and easiest way you can do to meet. Nobody's going to come walking down your hall and, like, knock on your door and poke in. It just never happens. But if the door is open and they're walking by, they'll kind of look in, you'll meet them, it'll be great. Make friends for the rest of your lives. So, leave your door open. Number two, ready? Come to stuff. Just show up at stuff that we're doing at Crew. Like, for instance, tonight after this meeting, we're going to head across to the ice cream social. Come, right? There's going to be creamery ice cream, and you're going to have a chance to meet people. However, let me warn you about this. For about half of you, probably, you're introverts, right? Meaning the whole idea of walking around and making small talk with people you don't know is just so unattractive to you. I am one of you, okay? I'm an introvert. Small talk is awkward. I think it's difficult. I think it's hard. But here's the thing. I don't know any way to get to the good stuff without wading through the difficulty of learning your major, forgetting your name, and then asking your name again, right? That's just, you just have to do it several times. But eventually it sticks, and good things will happen, okay? So show up. So right after here, we're going to go over and have ice cream. Tomorrow we've got a picnic. It's just so fun. We'll be at Sunset Park. Am I oriented right? Yeah, like up there, just the other side of Park Ave. Come to that. Just show up. Just play. I know it's like, I don't want to go be awkward. Just do it, okay? It's okay. We're all awkward. So come, show up, meet people. It'll be fun. You play through it, okay? So leave your door open. Come to stuff. Number three, jump in a small group Bible study. Rooker, I mentioned Rook, my cohort in crime, and we got in a Bible study together and a bunch of other guys. We were in Bible study all, you know, the last couple years in school together, and we are still friends to this day. We get together once a year. We all have this group of guys. We all write letters to each other every month to update on our lives. It's been like 17 years. Well, more than that, 20 if you count our time in school. And those relationships were transformative in my life, and they have continued to be so. Probably the people in your Bible study are going to be the people in your wedding, okay? So jump in a small group. Get in this group. Well, I'll walk you through how to do that at the end of this time, and we'll explain all that. But I strongly encourage you to jump in a Bible study. They're designed to really do two things. One, to teach you the Bible, put some data in your head that you can apply that'll transform you and change you, and then to help you make relationships. That is probably one of the best decisions you can make. Leave your door open. Come to stuff. Get in a Bible study. Number four is, I forgot. Oh, the fall retreat. Do not forget the fall retreat, okay? Fall retreats, write this down. It's October 15th to the 17th. So we're going to talk about it a whole bunch between now and then. But it is the single most important thing we do all semester, okay? I got involved with Crew when I was at JMU the day before the fall retreat, and they invited me to come. And I thought that was weird. I don't know you people, and I didn't go, okay? That whole year, I came to Crew, but I was kind of a fringer. I kind of sat there and learned a name, forgot a name, and that was the end of that, and went home, okay? My sophomore year, I went to the fall retreat, and I got there, and I lived in, you know, in a cabin with no windows. It was freezing. It was dreadfully cold, but it was really fun, and we had a great time, and I lived with people, and I got to know people, and we played, and everything changed for me. I can specifically remember going back to my hall my sophomore year, and it was like, you know how like in The Wizard of Oz, it went from black and white to color? Seriously, that's what happened to me. Everything changed for me. Right, it just got infinitely better. The fall retreat was the best decision I made my sophomore year, and I wish I'd gone my freshman year. So that's October 15th to 17th. You're going to hear about it ad nauseum in the next 5 or 6 weeks, but it's because it's so critical. So come to that. Okay, here's the fifth one. This is a little bit weird, so bear with me on this. Ready? The fifth one is, let me really strongly encourage you to get involved in another group on campus besides Crew that's not a Christian group. Okay, let me tell you what I mean by this. First of all, I know lots of the different leaders of the different Christian groups, and I love and respect these guys. I've got great relationships. We love these guys. If you want to check out another group and go there, and if you find that that's a great fit for you, that you really feel you could grow there or nourish you build relationships, you feel it fits, then go there. By all means, plug in, jump in, grow, you know, be nourished. But don't come back to Crew, okay? And here's why. Lots of kids show up at Penn State, and they get involved in a Christian group on Wednesday nights, and a Christian group on Thursday nights, and a Christian group on Friday nights, and then they get involved in two Bible studies. And essentially what they're doing is they're drinking from every Christian water fountain on campus, but they don't have any time left in their schedule to offer a glass of water to someone who's thirsty and who doesn't know how sweet Jesus is, okay? A lot of folks, they're here for like 3 months, and they don't know anybody that doesn't know Christ. They've just walled themselves off in this little safe thing of Christianity. Lots and lots of Christians on this campus are overfed and under-exercised, okay? We want you to be nourished. We want you to grow. We want to develop you. That can happen here. There's a number of other places that can happen. But let me just strongly encourage you, pick one, jump in there deep, and then the time that you would have spent going to every other Christian thing on campus, instead plug in with a place where Jesus isn't known. Pledge a fraternity, write for the collegian, join the Harry Potter fan club for all I care, okay? Just be somewhere where it's not just about being in a Christian cocoon, okay? Come inside, get fed, get nourished, get developed, and then go outside and talk to people about how sweet he is. Because he's incredible, and there's thousands of people here that don't know it. But you could tell them if you're not so busy kind of getting fed 7 nights a week. Make sense? You hear my heart in that? That makes sense? Can you live with it? So, 5 things. Leave your door open. Come to stuff. Just show up. Get in a small group, come to the fall retreat, and then go deep in some other community, sorority, some other club, someplace. Get involved with something where you're going to be able to rub shoulders with people that need to hear something that you know where you can love them well. Dig it? Okay, do those five things, and I think it'll make a difference in your life and maybe even in the lives of other people here. Let's see. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Life's about relationships. Being in a situation where you're known, where you feel like you belong, where there's a connection, that is what makes life worth living. And I really encourage you to jump in. Do everything you can. We would love to be that. There's room for you at Crew, here at our weekly meetings and our small groups and a whole bunch of other stuff besides that Jen's going to explain to you in a minute. There's all kinds of things, and you could, if you choose to, belong here. And we hope that you will. We'd love you to. Let me close with this, because I don't want to leave you with the impression that God's Trinitarian nature and all that it is simply for our entertainment, simply to make us feel good. Okay, there's a lot more. There's a lot of depth there, and I don't want to minimize the reality of what he is. So let me just offer this to you. When Jesus submitted to crucifixion, he did so that you could enter the dance that's been going on from all eternity. Okay, not that you'd become God. That's not going to happen. But despite your badness and your brokenness, despite your sin and your sorrow, he wants you to join the dance, to mingle in to this place of life and joy. That community of persons, you guys, who have always known and loved each other, they know and they love you, and they want you to come. They want you to enter the dance. I want you to listen. This is what Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified. It is him inviting you to the party. It cost him crucifixion. And here's what he invites you to. Listen to this. It says, I pray for those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That's the perichoresis, this twisting of persons. May they also be in us. May they join the dance so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and, get this, have loved them even as you have loved me. That's incredible. Father, I want those that you have given to me to be where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You guys, God the Son is asking God the Father to let you into the circle so that you can know and experience the love that they have shared from the beginning of time. That should just totally blow your mind if you realize what you're being invited to. And we would love you to stick around this year. Things of that magnitude are really best savored in community. And so we hope you stay with us as we do it. To help you do that, let me direct your attention to this. You should have found one of these on your seat. Okay, look around you. And if you don't have one, slip your hand up and we'll have somebody hand you one. This is called an About You card. It's got a little bit of stuff about Crew and then space for stuff about you. This is the golden ticket right here, okay? This is what's going to help you get into a Bible study in Crew, get you on the listserv to jump in. We got some guys down here that need a card. It's reasonably self-explanatory. So we'd like you to take a second and kind of plow through it. And Tobin, you can even cue up some tunes if you have it, if that can be done. If not, that's cool. Run through. Tell us about yourself. The Crew listserv has all kinds of information. If you want to get on that, indicate that. Oh yeah. Okay, yeah, thank you. Tom just reminded me of something. Hey, Tobin, I'm sorry. Mute that for a second. Sorry. Hey, and I should have said this. I forgot. Everybody fill this thing out. If you're on the staff team, fill it out. If you're a senior and you know that I know your name and love and adore you, fill it out. If you, first time, we'd love you to fill it out. You don't have to. But if you think that we know that you're here, we don't. What we do every year is we nuke the database. We erase everything and start all over. Okay? So we know Harry. We love Harry. He's been around all the time. Did you fill one out? Gunner, though, right? Okay, so everybody. Abby, you guys need him down here. So we need him down here. Some of the old returners. Spurlick down in the front row, bro. If you don't fill it out, no matter how much we love you, you won't be on the list. And we desperately want you on the list because we do love you. Markov is going to fill one out. Good boy. Everybody. Kate, you're on it? It's all done. She doesn't have a pen. Oh, we need pens. We got a box of pens. Where are the pens? Pens, pencils. I don't have a pen. Pens, pencils. Eduardo, where's that, bro? Pens, pencils, everybody. Hannah's got one. Fill them out. Andrew, did you fill one out? Yeah. For this, yeah, you want to fill them out so we know you. Nehemiah, you got it, brother? You're the man. You are the man. Hey, you want your watch back? Alright, fill them all out. Avery, you're filling out. You're awesome. Raise your hand if you still need more time. Okay, good. We got more time. Pens. Be generous with your pens. I'm not sure where our pens all went. Spin around. Love and share pens. Okay, as you finish, start passing through the aisles. I put it back up here. I did. Pass them to the aisles. Justin Ogden in the monkey shirt will get him. All right. Good it? We good? All right. Simmer down. All right. We got them in? Are they all in? Are they in? Good? We good? Okay. So can I get you back up here? Aye, me, check me out. Look at me, right here. Focus, right here. Okay, so, ready, hey, shh. Beautiful, well done, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Okay, we got them all in, we're good? Good. If for some reason you're still working it, you were waiting for a pen or something, or you just write really slow, that's cool. There's a plug-in table outside, and you can turn them in back there, too, if you didn't get a chance to turn it all in. That'd be fine. Okay? Sweet. Okay, now I'm going to introduce my friend Jen. Jen, come on up. This is Jen Durlin. Jen, you need a mic. Grab a mic. Jen and I work together here. There's like a dozen of us that are on the staff team, and Jen and I direct the whole thing, which is so fun for us. We have the privilege of working together to try to help this whole organization, this whole body of Christ here called Crew, to really grow in faith, to be the community that we want to be, where the gospel does all those sweet things. And Jen's got some exciting things to tell you a little bit about what we do and explain a little bit more about what Crew is. So I'd love you to give your attention to Jen. You'll hear a lot more from her over the course of the year. She helps lead the movement. So, sweet. Jen.
Thanks, Tim. So on your seats, along with those About You cards, you should have gotten a paper like this that kind of opens up all sweet like that. So go ahead and take that out, and you can kind of, I'm not going to walk through the whole thing, but the front of this is just a document that basically is like your little information packet about who we are at Crew. We really wanted you, especially if you're new, or if you've only come a couple times, you're just checking us out, we want you to know what we're all about. So on the front of this document, it just walks you through that phrase that you heard Katie and Scott say at the beginning of the night. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Christ. And so it fleshes that out for you a little bit more. You can take some time and read through that and learn about us. Hopefully that will answer some of the questions that you have. And then if you flip it open, there's this sweet looking map.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.